Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So today is a very, very, very special episode, where we're actually in Minneapolis. As we speak, we are a stone's throw away from the exact location where George Floyd was tragically murdered in 2020. Mm-hmm. And while we're solemn in this space, we're also resolved because we realize that it's Black Philanthropy Month. And now more than ever is a time for us to really think about how we can come together and just revitalize our communities to think differently, think strategically, how we can grow Black-led philanthropic organizations.
You're exactly right. And I'm just so humbled and grateful and excited to share with our listeners that the fact that we've been able to participate in a conversation around all of those themes.
Absolutely. So today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the state of affairs for Black philanthropy, but we're going to spend a lot of time giving you just some inside audio from an event that we co-hosted with the Minnesota Black Collective Foundation in Minneapolis. And it's a great organization. They were founded in the wake of George Floyd's murder. They're based in Minneapolis, and they're really a model for philanthropy for the whole country, really.
So we're in the room today with some heavy hitters in the Black philanthropic space. And one thing that they all have in common is that they recognize the importance and the significance of investing in Black-led philanthropic organizations and causes.
And what's unique, all of these organizations care about Black-led philanthropy, but they also aren't all Black. And we've got allies in this room. We've got folks that see the value in nonprofit organizations and foundations that are led by Black folks. So you all, as the listeners, get a chance to be a fly on the wall for a great conversation. Hope you enjoy it.
So we are really excited to introduce you to Lulit Mola. Lulit is the executive director of the Minnesota Black Collective Foundation. You're going to hear from Lulit and Alan about some of the emerging issues and challenges in the Black philanthropic space. You'll hear a little bit from me as well. We were asked some questions by Lulit and her team, and we're just excited to bring to you some snippets of that conversation.
The funny thing is how one of the ways we met was when Nexus went through a really, really detailed RFP process with literally, they hired a consultant, there were multiple applicants and multiple rounds of interviews, and then Rapa made the introduction, and the concept was, well, they did a lot of the work already, so we'll come in and piggyback, which is resource building. That's, you know, sharing resources we think is great. So I'll jump in on what we're doing for you guys, too. So just to fill out the story. So our firms that we manage about $400 million, and a little under half is with nonprofit organizations and endowments. But what's typical, like we cover organizations that are newer and their first funding is operating funds. Then the next iteration becomes reserve funds, which is like rainy day money if things don't go well on the fundraising side. And then endowment funds are rare. In particular, now we'll talk about this some, but it's rare for social organizations to have endowment funds. So when we got the chance to work with you all, we thought this is a rare thing. So we've got to do this right. And so here's what we've decided to do in conjunction with the board and the investment task force. Number one is to be very thoughtful about how we're investing and with whom we're investing. How we're investing. We have to make sure that we are not, you know, making a good profit at the expense of the community issues that we're looking to solve. So we needed to make sure that this portfolio spoke to the social issues that are the genesis for why the Black Collective exists in the first place. That's number one. Number two, we needed to make sure that we weren't just giving the money to organizations that were not diverse, to organizations that were going to turn around and make a profit and then go fund the things, the political candidates, the whoever, the things that we're looking to kind of work against. We didn't want to counterbalance that with how those decisions were made. And then third, of course, we want to make a return. And we're just at the outset of that. And believe it or not, that's the easy part. Like the hard part is the with whom and the how. And that's what we've been working a lot on. So we've worked with the committee. We've come up with together an endowment fund investment policy statement. That investment policy statement becomes the rules of the road for how any investment advisor, whether it's us or some other firm in the future, how the funds will be managed. It also kind of outlines the general thoughts behind having a long-term endowment fund, which is the concept that, you know, often there's this view that, hey, this isn't our money. We've got to be super conservative. We can't lose. But in investing, there's risk, right? And there's ups and there's downs. And so we need a policy that reflects that, that reminds us of the fact that there will be times when the road gets bumpy. And we have to remember, like, this is not for us. This is for us, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, the community that will be around longer than us. This is money that's supposed to be around for, you know, 1,000 years. People say 100 years, 1,000 years. And so with that sort of mindset, then you've got to take some risk. And so the investment policy statement describes that. So that's, you know, step one. Step two, the how, the implementation wise. So we really, I'll tell you just some stats around how much money lands in the hands of diverse organizations from an investment side. You all know the dearth on the nonprofit side. On the investment side, there's $70 trillion that's professionally managed in America. And out of the $70 trillion, there's less than 2% that's in the hands of Black and women and minority-owned firms generally. And that lumps in Asian firms. That lumps in, like, all the different non-white ethnicities. And it's less than 2%. If we were to tease out just Black-led, we'd be at less than 1%. And so when organizations decide they want to invest with diverse firms, typically, like, the baseline is 2%. So if you could do better than 2%, then you're doing well. Organizations like Howard University, which has one of the biggest endowments for HBCUs in this country, their percentage that's with Black firms is around 10%, which is viewed nationally as like a great achievement. So now we'll talk about how we've decided to allocate for this foundation. First, diverse-owned firms will manage 25% of this fund. 25 versus 2.
So as an alumni of Hampton University, the other HU, mm-hmm. I'm very proud of the fact that Howard has one of the largest endowments amongst HBCUs. The next two are Hampton and Spelman, but those two universities are have a significantly lower endowment than Howard. So while we like the 10% statistic, it sounds good because it's probably better than what my alma mater and Spelman are doing, but it's not enough. Like, this is a Black institution that only has 10% of its endowment with Black leaders. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to
throw
the.
No, it's a great point.
Well, I'm aware that SSIR that I shared with you all. Yes. Howard, I think 2021 mm-hmm. was at what, 700 million, and Harvard is at 41 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Howard has one of the largest Black-led endowments wow. yes. at 700 million mm-hmm. compared to 41 billion
yeah. with a B, yeah. as I
like to say. That article highlights you could add up all the HBCU endowments, and just the top endowments have 95 times more wealth. So a huge, huge disparity. So 25% will be in the hands of diverse-owned organizations. 70% will be in the hands of diverse management teams. And that we define diverse as having an ethnic minority or a woman on the management team of the investment. And then finally, over half of the money will be invested with a social responsible lens. And I say over half because there's certain asset classes where we're going to buy just bonds, right? And so it's harder to have as big of an impact, but really every aspect of the portfolio will have a social impact. The biggest will come from the equity or stock select portion, but there will be impact in the fixed income or bond section. There will also be impact in the alternative investment section as well. Next, we'll talk about within the equity allocation, what the values were that we decided to kind of center on. And I'll ask Andrea if you could help us with that.
So again, Alan mentioned a lot of those diverse managers are within the equities space. And so as an example, so equities stock ownership in a company, we can do that through single name stock, but also through a partner that we work with called Ethic. And we'll get more into that in a little bit. We use an ETF, an exchange traded fund. It's a pool of investments. And we use, as an example, the NAACP Impact Fund. So the companies that make up the components of that fund use some of their profits to donate to the NAACP. It's another, Adesina has a social justice fund. I love the fact that the ticker symbol is JSTC for justice. 3% of the of the allocation goes there. But when we work with the investment community to really talk about the causes that rise to the top in terms of priorities for the Minnesota Black Collective, we agreed on racial justice,
mm-hmm.
health and wellness, poverty, education, leadership, and management. Of course, there are some subcomponents to those sort of overarching themes. Health and wellness, you know, is really about promoting healthy communities. Poverty, of course, is about socioeconomic justice, education, promote a safe and healthy education environments for our children.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that come into that, but we partner with a third party called Ethic that helps us create portfolios made up of individual companies or stocks that would include or do their best to exclude or significantly reduce companies that are doing harm or are not aligned with these themes. So for example, we may not love if a company contributes to building or profiting from the building of prisons. We don't want companies that do that, Albert. We don't want that in the portfolio.
Right.
So Ethic helps us to weed out the bad names, the bad players, but also is making sure we're being inclusive of the things that align with the Black Collective's mission.
Great. And in our last 60 seconds, we're bragging here what you guys are doing. So some of the issues that are corporate issues that we're going to make sure that we are not a part of. And I don't want to step on any toes. I didn't hear any of these companies named. But for example, Tesla is in the midst right now of a class action lawsuit from 6,000 of their Black employees who said that they were mistreated. Another example, BMW has issues with forced labor. Forced labor sounds a lot like slavery in China. Nestle, hope there's no Nestle folks. All right. There are companies out here that are adding more sugar to products that are being marketed to the low income communities. I mean, these are some of the things that are happening in the corporate world that we are mindful of, and we are making sure that we're not profiting from. And then finally, on the fixed income side, loaning money to organizations that have a community impact in mind, not just loaning money to the U.S. government. So we're investing with organizations like Talbert Impact, LISC, which is the local initiative support corporation. And they're doing things like funding affordable housing, the building of new charter schools, the building of daycare facilities, the building of healthcare facilities. I mentioned affordable housing already, but really a number of different things as a lender. So the money is going to earn its rate of return. The money will be endowed, which means it will be around for a very long time to give support to the organization, but it's being done with purpose and on purpose as well.
And the last thing I'll say in 30 seconds, I promise, or less, is we understand fully that sometimes when you're creating a portfolio that's mission aligned, sometimes there's feelings of competition. Alan doesn't love that I talk about this. He's kind of like black and white on this, but I fully embrace the fact that sometimes we're in conflict. I worked for Merrill Lynch, which was acquired by Bank of America, and I was well aware of the redlining and some of the lending practices for mortgage lending and how that disparately impacted communities of color. I'm very aware and in tune with the fact that there was a national boycott of Target, which is based right here in Minneapolis. But I also understand that if I'm in Minneapolis, or maybe some of our donors, maybe some of your donors are senior executives or mid-level managers or employees of Target. So I am fully aware that sometimes there's feelings of conflict when it comes to these things. You know, my cousin was a senior executive at Nestle. You know, there's so many layers to it, but at least when we're being mission-minded, we're being strategic, and we're being intentional, and we're at least going to try. Mm-hmm. We're not just going to say, well, there's nothing I can do. We're at least going to try.
Yes. And here's for the triers. Thank you. I'm going to take your seat.
Absolutely.
That's good. So, Andrea, it's almost like we read each other's minds, because I was going to start this part of talking with Alan with the tension that we sit in every single day. And you articulated it so beautifully. But I think it means something that the Black Collective Foundation of Minnesota, first, that we exist. Amen to that. And so what you said about you being 15 years old and being one of the largest Black-owned investment firms, we feel that. Like us being 3 to 5 years old and being one of the more stable Black-led organizations in this community, it's not always something to celebrate. Mm. It's something that reveals the lack of investment and infrastructure that has gone into organizations. Because if we're 10 years down the line and we're the only strong organization, we have not done our job. Our job is to build an ecosystem where Black-led change thrives, where organizations thrive. I mentioned yesterday, what if you came back in 5 years and like five of us had endowments? And now we're talking about systems change, right? So I love that, like, we're gaining momentum.
Definitely.
We're gaining momentum in this. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the political environment you're in. I don't want it to define our conversation, right? Because it doesn't define our identity. And yet we have to be honest that we are in extremely hard anti-Black times, period. Federal cuts, there are policies coming after social safety nets, which disproportionately impact Black people as well as other cultural groups. Money is tighter. We are all fighting for our lives in this economy, right? And some of us have more access than others, but money is tight. So in a time like this, why would an organization like ours focus on an endowment instead of responding to the urgency and putting out the fires that we're seeing?
It's a great question. Yeah. And there's so many, I mean, you articulated a lot of them. I'm just telling you what we're seeing on our side. We're seeing, I mean, in the newspaper, you're seeing organizations that have billions of dollars folding in 5 minutes to some of these issues as opposed to fighting. When that's the leadership you're seeing, like when your leader folds, the big guys fold, like it just trickles down. And it's so easy for folks to just step away from these Black issues when there's pressure. I'm on a number of boards. Andrea's on boards. You all are on boards. And it's tense, and folks are really, you know, you're kind of negotiating your values at this point to see what we can get away with saying publicly. So the idea of having an endowment versus just taking everything and funding the fires of today, it's just, you know, you are basically selling away your future ability to fight the fires in the future. It'd be the same thing in your own households, where there might be one year when your kids want to all go on vacation, but it's going to be at the expense of your retirement fund. Like, we got to be thinking long-term and strategically. And so I think it's wise to be building an endowment today, to be adding to it and hopefully growing it, because think of it like it's about 5% or so is what gets spent from an endowment typically. So $1 million endowment produces $50,000 in perpetuity. Hopefully the number grows, but that's kind of, you know, ballpark. The problems we have are way more than $50,000, right? And so the idea is to start and then to grow it. And if this thing becomes $10 million, you're talking about $500,000 a year of gifts and grants and operating funds and whatnot. And so I think you got to start somewhere. I think now is a great time to start. And it's like, if not, then when? If not now, then when? And if not you all, then who?
And we have to do this as if our lives depend on it,
because agreed.
They do, right?
Agreed.
And in that article that we read leading up to this, we read, like, as of 2018, the NAACP's endowment, zero.
Mm.
And so some of these organizations who have literally shifted the political landscape of this country do not have an endowment they can tap into if the times come when people don't believe in desegregation, when people don't believe in equal rights. And so the critical urgency of building institutions that outlast political moments become consequential if we don't think about it as such.
Absolutely. Yeah. On that note, we know that the murder of George Floyd created a moment of opportunity. There was an uptick in, on our side, on Wall Street side, there's an uptick in new firms starting up, venture capital firms, private equity firms. And if you didn't start in 2020 or 2021, and you started in 2022, the results are very different, because by 2022, just like in philanthropy, where we saw, you know, there was almost a 2% of philanthropy went to Black-led organizations in 2020, and by 2022, it was down to 1.3%, and it's probably trending back towards 1% or lower. That was this moment of opportunity, and now it's kind of gone, which then highlights, that's why we need an endowment.
Right.
When it's not the flavor of the month to be focused on Black issues, we need to make sure that we can still fund the fight.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Momentum.
Absolutely. And we don't have the luxury of walking away from ourselves.
Correct.
Nor do we want.
Yes.
Okay. I said today, I love us. I got two gifts just because of my sisters in this room. Okay. And I want to build a world in which like culture drives what we do. Not like I don't always want to be fighting, right? Like we are not a people that just fight. We are a people of culture that dream. And so when I think about an endowment, it's like survival has to be beyond fighting back. It has to be about building a future that we are happy to live in.
Yes.
So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they announced that they're going to close their endowment by 2045. They're going to spend it down. So if y'all know Bill or Melinda, okay, let me know. But that's the trend. There's a trend that private foundations are spending down endowments because they're like, what fire are you waiting for? The world is burning now. Spend it now. Save it now. How do you see that compared to, but here we are today, launching our first $1 million, like seeding an endowment? How do you see those two?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you another corollary would be this idea of, like we have some clients that have, you know, they're worth a lot of money. And when they invest, not only do they want to invest in ways that match their mission, they're also in the position of privilege to be able to have concessionary investments. When I say concessionary, I mean, I don't need a market rate return. Give me a below market rate return because I want to over index towards impact. And when you've got billions of dollars, like a billion, Bill and Melinda Gates, I think so. That's funny. You know, when you've got that type of money, like you've got a different set of options, really. And what's crazy, the way, I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Richard Pryor, it was called Brewster's Millions.
Oh, yes. Movie.
As he's trying to spend down the money, more money's coming to him. That's so what's funny is like, not funny, but like what will happen is they're trying to get rid of this money, but more is coming.
Yep.
It just keeps coming. That Microsoft stock keeps going up and they might not be able to give away all that money. Like that is not a problem that any of us in our community has, that we've got too much money that we can't spend all inside of that time. Nor do we have the privilege, frankly, of making a ton of concessionary investments. We've got to make a return to be vital long run.
And I think like for us, it's translating culture into tools of philanthropy, which Shantara talks about a lot, or the way we think about tapping into capital in different ways. And I know, Adair, you're thinking about that as you step into your role at Groundbreak. We have to be more sophisticated in the way, like it's not just a grant is going to solve disparities in education. Like, it's not that simple. It's layered. It's nuanced. We have to approach it in multiple ways. So what are the different kinds of financial tools you think is undertapped when we're thinking about addressing social issues? And I'll say one more thing before you answer. I applaud our corporate partners, Thrive, General Mills, U.S. Bank that's in the room, who cut us checks for general operating support, for endowment, for things that traditionally corporate partners want to see, like X amount of kids have X amount of backpacks. I commend the backpacks. I got two kids. And yet asking the question of why can't their parents buy them backpacks to begin with? Like that's working upstream and solving that very thing that then allows the community to then shop in your store, buy your product. And now we're suddenly living in a society where we can all economically thrive. Like it's clear, right? So In what ways can we be more sophisticated in the way we deploy like financial tools for solving some of these systems change problems?
Yeah, for one, I think you guys are doing a great job just, you know, with what you're doing now. It's not just giving grants. Like giving grants is probably, you know, one of the smaller things that you do impact-wise relative to the other things, the technical assistance, the leadership building, the resource gathering that's beyond financial. But one thing that I think is, you know, an opportunity, I'll say financially, is it's access to capital generally. Like grants are great for a nonprofit organization, but access to loan funds is also great. Meaning I want to expand and let's say there's a physical plant and I need to get a lease and I need to fix up the building. It's very difficult when you don't have money in the bank to go to a bank and say, hey, I'd like a loan for this purpose.
Money's
so money. Lending is an idea. Also, being a collateral source is an idea. We have another client that they'll stake an organization by saying, look, we won't give you the money for the thing you're looking to do, but we'll tell the bank that we will backstop you if things go badly. Like that's another financial thing that we see that adds capacity to organizations as well. But I think it's the stewardship, it's the leadership, it's the multi-pronged approach that you all are taking that I think is, again, that model for the country and the Black community.
Last question before we pause the recording, and I want to get some insights from the room. Oh, how do we talk about that today? Like, so we emerged in 2020 against the awakening,
yeah,
the racial justice awakening of the masses across the world. A lot of those doors have been shut, like slammed. And yet here we are, still building, still going, right? Because we're defined by a movement, not a moment. And so how do I walk up to folks and say, like, can you think about giving to an endowment of our future in an environment that is already hard?
Yeah. I just think it's a great question, by the way. I think it's just the idea that, like, when you give to a disadvantaged community, you're helping yourself as much as you're helping that community. I don't know if folks realize that. In philanthropy, there's a story that a lot of folks in philanthropy know about, you know, adding ramps to curbs. Have you guys heard this story before? Like the curb cut effect. It's the idea that if I can help this group here, it's really going to help the moms pushing strollers. It's going to help the elderly. It's going to help mobility, which is going to help the businesses. Like it's the idea that, like, I look at DC, what's going on in Washington, DC right now. The National Guard's coming in because there's a bunch of teenagers that are roaming the streets with nothing to do, and they're causing mischief. And by the way, DC is not as bad as what's being shown on the news. I'm in DC all the time. Crime's probably the lowest it's been in 30 years in DC. But the problem is, why don't the kids have backpacks in the first place? Why don't the parents have the job that can allow them to afford the things, right? And so I just think that that's the issue, is that we've got to remind folks that this isn't just to, you know, uplift the Black community. It's really to create a better world, right? Like, I even think about HBCUs, which I think I went to Morgan State University, and a lot of the HBCUs weren't founded off of, like, this charitable view that we got to help Black folks. The idea was, we've got a bunch of Black people that are uneducated because they were enslaved. And if we don't educate them, then they're probably going to kill us. Like, they're probably going to cause us problems, right? Like, that was the mentality at the time. I know it sounds like kind of crazy. I'm not saying that us Black folks are going to kill everybody, but I'm saying, like, we've got to solve our problems in ways that help everybody. That's all I'm saying. Reminding folks of that story.
I so appreciate, like, the depth of this conversation. We need more truth telling. We don't need to have the answers, but we need to be courageous enough to ask the questions,
mm-hmm,
and be comfortable enough to live in the discomfort of the tensions that we discussed, and understand that like what we got to be behind is the mission. Yeah. And sometimes the mission is through this company, sometimes it's through this project, but those, like, the vehicles will change, but the mission endures. So thank you for being in this conversation with me. I want to say we have a summit November 18th to the 20th. The registration went live today. It's called The Collective Sum, where we'll have amazing conversations like this. I'm really saying this for the podcast. Because I'm going to need the podcast people to be tapped in.
Yes.
LexiCF.org.
Yes. Say your website again at the end, too.
So, but I love all of you in the room and as partners for that summit. 300 people having conversations like this. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. Momentum.
This was pretty incredible.
Wow.
Like, our day isn't over yet, but I'm ready.
So we're actually going to go see the Prince Museum. We're going to Paisley Park. Sorry, listeners, you won't be there with us, but we'll definitely take some photos and maybe post them to our social media. So thanks so much for listening today. If you get a moment, please visit the website of the Minnesota Black Collective Foundation. The website is www.mnblackcf.org. Again, it's mnblackcf.org. They're hosting a wonderful conference in November of 2025 in Minneapolis, and we'd love to see some folks attend. But this was so awesome. Visit their website. Definitely visit the website of Black Philanthropy Month and keep listening to the Momentum Advisors. Anytime you want to talk about your investments, about lining up your mission with your money, feel free to reach out to us. Even if you just want to talk about how things are going for you financially, our website is momentum-advisors.com/contact.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.